Chapter 93. Mr. Nicodemus Dumps, or, as his acquaintance called him, Long Dumps, apostrophe was a bachelor, 6 feet high, and 50 years old. Cross, cadaverous, odd, and ill-natured. He was never happy, but when he was miserable, and always miserable when he had the best reason to be happy. The only real comfort of his existence was to make everybody about him wretched, then he might be truly said to enjoy life. He was afflicted with a situation in the bank worth $500 a year, and he rented a first floor furnished apostrophe at Pentonville, which he originally took because it commanded a dismal prospect of an adjacent churchyard. He was familiar with the face of every tombstone, and the burial service seemed to excite his strongest sympathy. His friend said he was surly. He insisted he was nervous. They thought him a lucky dog, but he protested that he was the most unfortunate man in the world. Apostrophe cold as he was, and wretched as he declared himself to be, he was not wholly unsusceptible of attachments. He revered the memory of Hoyle, as he was himself an admirable and imperturbable whist player, and he chuckled with delight at a fretful and impatient adversary. He adored King Herod for his massacre of the innocents, and if he hated one thing more than another, it was a child. However, he could hardly be said to hate anything in particular, because he disliked everything in general. But perhaps his greatest antipathies were cabs, old women, doors that would not shut, musical amateurs, and omnibus cats. He subscribed to the Society for the Suppression of Vice for the pleasure of putting a stop to any harmless amusements, and he contributed largely towards the support of two itinerant Methodist parsons, in the amiable hope that if circumstances rendered any people happy in this world, they might perchance be rendered miserable by fears for the next. Mr. Dumps had a nephew who had been married about a year, and who was somewhat of a favorite with his uncle, because he was an admirable subject to exercise his misery-creating powers upon. Mr. Charles Kitterbell was a small, sharp, spare man, with a very large head, and a broad, good-humored countenance. He looked like a faded giant, with the head and face partially restored, and he had a cast in his eye which rendered it quite impossible for anyone with whom he conversed to know where he was looking. His eyes appeared fixed on the wall, and he was staring you out of countenance. In short, there was no catching his eye, and perhaps it is a merciful dispensation of Providence that such eyes are not catching. In addition to these characteristics, it may be added that Mr. Charles Kitterbell was one of the most credulous and matter-of-fact little personages that ever took to himself a wife, and for himself a house in Great Russell Street, Bedford Square. Uncle Dumps always dropped the Bedford Square apostrophe and inserted in lieu thereof the dreadful words Tottenham Court Road. Apostrophe, no, but, Uncle, upon my life you must promise to be godfather, apostrophe said Mr. Kitterbell, as he sat in conversation with his respected relative one morning. I cannot, indeed I cannot, apostrophe returned Dumps. Well, but why not? Jemima will think it very unkind. It's very little trouble. Apostrophe, as to the trouble, apostrophe rejoined the most unhappy man in existence, I don't mind that. But my nerves are in that state I cannot go through the ceremony. You know I don't like going out. For God's sake, Charles, don't fidget with that stool so. You'll drive me mad. Apostrophe Mr. Kitterbell, quite regardless of his uncle's nerves, had occupied himself for some 10 minutes in describing a circle on the floor with one leg of the office stool on which he was seated, keeping the other three up in the air, and holding fast on by the desk. I beg your pardon, Uncle, apostrophe said Kitterbell, quite abashed, suddenly releasing his hold of the desk, and bringing the three wandering legs back to the floor, with a force sufficient to drive them through it. But come, don't refuse. If it's a boy, you know, we must have two godfathers. Apostrophe, if it's a boy. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Dumps, Why can't you say at once whether it is a boy or not? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I should be very happy to tell you, but it's impossible I can undertake to say whether it's a girl or a boy if the child isn't born yet. Apostrophe, not born yet. Apostrophe, apostrophe, echoed Dumps, with a gleam of hope lighting up his lugubrious visage. Oh, well, it may be a girl, and then you won't want me, or if it is a boy, it may die before it is christened. Apostrophe, I hope not, apostrophe, said the father, that expected to be, looking very grave. I hope not, apostrophe, acquiesced Dumps, evidently pleased with the subject. He was beginning to get happy. I hope not, but distressing cases frequently occur during the first 2 or 3 days of a child's life. Fits, I am told, are exceedingly common, and alarming convulsions are almost matters of course. Apostrophe, Lord, Uncle. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ejaculated little Kitterbell, gasping for breath. Yes, my landlady was confined, let me see, last Tuesday. An uncommonly fine boy. On the Thursday night the nurse was sitting with him upon her knee before the fire, and he was as well as possible. Suddenly he became black in the face, and alarmingly spasmodic. The medical man was instantly sent for, and every remedy was tried, but apostrophe, how frightful! Apostrophe, apostrophe, interrupted the horror-stricken Kitterbell. The child died, of course. However, your child may not die, and if it should be a boy, and should live to be christened, why I suppose I must be one of the sponsors. Apostrophe Dumps was evidently good-natured on the faith of his anticipations. Thank you, Uncle, apostrophe said his agitated nephew, grasping his hand as warmly as if he had done him some essential service. Perhaps I had better not tell Mrs. K what you have mentioned. Apostrophe, why, if she's low-spirited, perhaps you had better not mention the melancholy case to her, apostrophe returned Dumps, who of course had invented the whole story, though perhaps it would be but doing your duty as a husband to prepare her for the worst. Apostrophe, a day or two afterwards, as Dumps was perusing a morning paper at the chop house which he regularly frequented, the following paragraph met his eyes. BIRTHS. On Saturday, the 18th inst. In Great Russell Street, the lady of Charles Kitterbell Esquire of a son. Apostrophe, it is a boy. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he exclaimed, dashing down the paper, to the astonishment of the waiters. It is a boy. Apostrophe, but he speedily regained his composure as his eye rested on a paragraph quoting the number of infant deaths from the bills of mortality. 6 weeks passed away, and as no communication had been received from the Kitterbells, Dumps was beginning to flatter himself that the child was dead, when the following note painfully resolved his doubts. Great Russell Street, Monday morning. Dear Uncle, you will be delighted to hear that my dear Jemima has left her room, and that your future godson is getting on capitally. He was very thin at first, but he is getting much larger, and nurse says he is filling out every day. He cries a good deal, and is a very singular color, which made Jemima and me rather uncomfortable. But as nurse says it's natural, and as of course we know nothing about these things yet, we are quite satisfied with what nurse says. We think he will be a sharp child, and nurse says she's sure he will, because he never goes to sleep. You will readily believe that we are all very happy, only we're a little worn out for want of rest, as he keeps us awake all night, but this we must expect, nurse says, for the first 6 or 8 months. He has been vaccinated, but in consequence of the operation, being rather awkwardly performed, some small particles of glass were introduced into the arm with the matter. Perhaps this may in some degree account for his being rather fractious. At least, so nurse says. We propose to have him christened at 12 o'clock on Friday, at St. George's Church, in Hart Street, by the name of Frederick Charles William. Pray don't be later than 12:15. We shall have a very few friends in the evening, when of course we shall see you. I am sorry to say that the dear boy appears rather restless and uneasy today. The cause, I fear, is fever. Believe me, dear uncle, yours affectionately, Charles Kitterbell. P.S. I open this note to say that we have just discovered the cause of little Frederick's restlessness. It is not fever, as I apprehended, but a small pin, which nurse accidentally stuck in his leg yesterday evening. We have taken it out, and he appears more composed, though he still sobs a good deal. Apostrophe, it is almost unnecessary to say that the perusal of the above interesting statement was no great relief to the mind of the hypochondriacal Dumps. It was impossible to recede, however, and so he put the best face, that is to say, an uncommonly miserable one upon the matter, and purchased a handsome silver mug for the infant Kitterbell, upon which he ordered the initials F.C. W.K. apostrophe with the customary untrained grapevine-looking flourishes, and a large full stop, to be engraved forthwith. Monday was a fine day, Tuesday was delightful, Wednesday was equal to either, and Thursday was finer than ever. Four successive fine days in London. Hackney coachmen became revolutionary, and crossing sweepers began to doubt the existence of a first cause. The Morning Herald informed its readers that an old woman in Camden Town had been heard to say that the fineness of the season was unprecedented in the memory of the oldest inhabitant. Apostrophe and Islington clerks, with large families and small salaries, left off their black gaiters, disdained to carry their one-screen cotton umbrellas, and walked to town in the conscious pride of white stockings and cleanly brushed bluchers. Dumps beheld all this with an eye of supreme contempt. His triumph was at hand. He knew that, if it had been fine for 4 weeks instead of 4 days, it would rain when he went out. He was lugubriously happy in the conviction that Friday would be a wretched day, and so it was. I knew how it would be, apostrophe said Dumps, as he turned round opposite the Mansion House at 11:30 on the Friday morning. I knew how it would be. I am concerned, and that's enough, apostrophe and certainly the appearance of the day was sufficient to depress the spirits of a much more buoyant-hearted individual than himself. It had rained, without a moment's cessation, since 8:00. Everybody that passed up Cheapside, and down Cheapside, looked wet, cold, and dirty. All sorts of forgotten, and long-concealed umbrellas had been put into requisition. Cabs whisked about, with the fare as carefully boxed up behind two glazed calico curtains as any mysterious picture in any one of Mrs. Radcliffe's castles. Omnibus horses smoked like steam engines. Nobody thought of standing up under doorways or arches. They were painfully convinced it was a hopeless case. And so everybody went hastily along, jumbling and jostling, and swearing and perspiring, and slipping about, like amateur skaters behind wooden chairs on the Serpentine on a frosty Sunday. Dumps paused. He could not think of walking, being rather smart for the christening. If he took a cab he was sure to be spilt, and a hackney coach was too expensive for his economical ideas. An omnibus was waiting at the opposite corner. It was a desperate case. He had never heard of an omnibus upsetting or running away, and if the cad did knock him down, he could pull him up in return. Now, sir, apostrophe apostrophe cried the young gentleman who officiated as cad to the lads of the village, apostrophe which was the name of the machine just noticed. Dumps crossed. This way, sir. Apostrophe apostrophe shouted the driver of the hark away, apostrophe pulling up his vehicle immediately across the door of the opposition. This way, sir, he's full. Apostrophe Dumps hesitated, whereupon the lads of the village commenced pouring out a torrent of abuse against the hark away, apostrophe but the conductor of the Admiral Napier settled the contest in a most satisfactory manner, for all parties, by seizing Dumps round the waist, and thrusting him into the middle of his vehicle which had just come up, and only wanted the 16th inside. All right, apostrophe said the Admiral, and off the thing thundered, like a fire engine at full gallop, with the kidnapped customer inside, standing in the position of a half-doubled-up bootjack, and falling about with every jerk of the machine, first on the one side, and then on the other, like a jack in the green, apostrophe on May Day, setting to the lady with a brass ladle. For heaven's sake, where am I to sit? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired the miserable man of an old gentleman, into whose stomach he had just fallen for the fourth time. Anywhere but on my chest, sir, apostrophe replied the old gentleman in a surly tone. Perhaps the box would suit the gentleman better, apostrophe suggested a very damp lawyer's clerk, in a pink shirt, and a smirking countenance. After a great deal of struggling and falling about, Dumps at last managed to squeeze himself into a seat, which, in addition to the slight disadvantage of being between a window that would not shut, and a door that must be open, placed him in close contact with a passenger, who had been walking about all the morning without an umbrella, and who looked as if he had spent the day in a full water but only wetter. Don't bang the door so, apostrophe said Dumps to the conductor, as he shut it, after letting out four of the passengers. I am very nervous, it destroys me. Apostrophe, did any gentleman say anything? Apostrophe apostrophe replied the cad, thrusting in his head, and trying to look as if he didn't understand the request. I told you not to bang the door so. Apostrophe apostrophe repeated Dumps, with an expression of countenance like the knave of clubs, in convulsions. Oh, why, it's rather a singular circumstance about this here door, sir, that it won't shut without banging, apostrophe replied the conductor, and he opened the door very wide, and shut it again with a terrific bang, in proof of the assertion. I beg your pardon, sir, apostrophe said a little prim, wheezing old gentleman, sitting opposite Dumps. I beg your pardon, but have you ever observed, when you have been in an omnibus on a wet day, that four people out of five always come in with large cotton umbrellas, without a handle at the top, or the brass spike at the bottom? Apostrophe apostrophe, why, sir, apostrophe returned Dumps, as he heard the clock strike 12, it never struck me before, but now you mention it, I hollow, hollow. Apostrophe apostrophe shouted the persecuted individual, as the omnibus dashed past Drury Lane, where he had directed to be set down. Where is the cad? Apostrophe apostrophe, I think he's on the box, sir, apostrophe said the young gentleman before noticed in the pink shirt, which looked like a white one ruled with red ink. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.